Winner all of life.
We come around, everything shut down like
this feeling. Our hands up to the sky, up to the ceiling. Champagne we're spilling, 'cause we don't have a care.
Welcome to the Inner Ho Uprising. Thanks, guys. Very happy to have these two people here today. This is the podcast about sex, love, and dating from the perspective of me, Sam, one polyamorous, feminist, black hoe living in New York City, doing whatever the fuck I want to do. And today I'm joined with two co-hoes, Delta, hey, who is occasionally a play partner and self-identified switch, an aspiring kinkwear designer. All of these terms may be quite new to you, and that's because today's episode is about BDSM. We're going to get the fuck into that. And we've also got Gina, a submissive, bratty power bottom with a large passion for helping other S-type women in the BDSM community.
Hey.
I am so excited.
Me too.
How are you all feeling today?
Pretty good.
Great. This is my favorite topic, so I'm excited to be here.
Sweet, sweet. Happy to talk about it. So this is season two of the Inner Ho Uprising. If you guys listened to season one, you know that I had one co-ho with me who's not with us anymore, and that's why I'm searching for a new co-ho. So I've got a new or two new people every week, and we discuss whatever the fuck they want to discuss. So we're talking about BDSM today. If you're a new listener, I'll go over the segments for you. We've got Bay of the Week, where we talk about people who we're attracted to. Ho of the Week, where we talk about you guys, the homies, the fans. Self-care Tip of the Week, where we suggest some ways that you guys can take care of yourselves. Pay a Bitch, and then we go into the meat of the show. So we have Fuck That, which is our current events topics. Fuck It, which is our topic of the day. Today is BDSM. We've got Fuck Me, where we talk about our sexual lives, and then we've got Fuck You, where we talk about y'all sexual lives. If you guys would like to follow along to the conversation had in this podcast, you can do so by using the hashtag InnerHoeUprising on whatever platform you want, and you can also use the hashtags PodIn and HerPod so that other people can see what you're saying about the show. So we're going to start off with Bay of the Week. Who are you guys' Bays of the Week this week?
My Bay of the Week is Skin Diamond. She is an adult film star.
Yes, a sexy one. She's
she
quite
is
hot.
So fucking cute.
Yeah, no, yeah, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
A
little sexy little
she's
thing.
Like, that's what, yeah, she's like.
And similar, very aggressive, too.
Yeah, she's similar, but like, that's why I relate to her, because I'm like, she's petite like me and small, yeah, but she's aggressive, and like, she can take charge. You'd be like, oh, she's so adorable. No.
Yeah.
She'll like rough you up, yeah, if she needs to. Yep, and yeah, I love it.
Yeah. I like that about porn stars, when you can identify yourself with it.
Yeah.
Porn star, it's like, that's me. Mm-hmm. That's me out there.
That's me.
Fucking and sucking. How about you, Gina?
Oh, I chose Samira Wiley, mm-hmm, Puse from Orange is the New Black.
Yes, new season coming up.
Yeah, I'm real excited.
Oh, but she's not on the show anymore.
No, she spoiler.
Yeah,
she croaked.
Spoiler alert.
I'm really sad about
she
this.
The can.
Yeah. Yeah, she has like this look to her that just kind of captivates me. I have a thing for short haired women.
She's got a thing in her eyes. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's gorgeous.
Yeah.
She is also just well, a very attractive.
But now she's off the market, so. Mm.
Huh. You never know. Maybe they have like an open
doesn't
marriage.
Mean I can't dream.
That's yeah, true. It's all about the fantasy right here at Bay of the Week. So let's go into Ho of the Week. This is a segment where we shout out the fans of the show. This week, I have picked Sam from Facebook because she's sweet and, you know, we have the same name. So mm-hmm, that's all you
oh,
need
yeah,
really to be Ho of the Week. We've also got Deja, who informed me on Twitter about this thing called ReAlert, which is an Amber Alert supplement that picks up where Amber Alert leaves off. So sometimes Amber Alert will just stop alerting, and sometimes it'll never engage in a situation because of the criteria. So ReAlert picks that up, and I thought that was really cool that she told us about that. Now we're going to go into self-care tip of the week, and you guys had some things.
My self-care tip of the week is to make sure you say no, not just yeah, in sex situations, but in general in life. It will give you so much power
yeah,
to say no and to put yourself first. Mm-hmm. Learning to say no is a really important part of BDSM, but not just BDSM, life in general. So
yeah,
yeah, challenge yourself and say no this week.
Would you say a lot of the tenets to BDSM apply to life in general?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Great.
Very much so. Mm-hmm.
This is going to be a good episode. Delta, how about you?
My self-care tip, not just in BDSM, but in life, know your limits.
Yeah.
Know what you're comfortable with doing. And that also goes with the saying no. Know what you are comfortable with doing. Do not like set those limits. Don't let people persuade you. And like, cause in BDSM, there are soft and hard limits. So know your soft, know your hard limits in general and in BDSM if you want to partake. So
that's interesting. I never thought about
know what
that.
You're like, willing to do.
The boundaries, yeah. Your limits.
Know what you're willing to do. Like if you, your personal morals and values and like stick to them and don't let people sway you. Those are your limits and you don't want to cross them. So know who you are.
Know your fucking limits.
Mm-hmm.
Great advice. Thank you, ladies. Last up in our little housekeeping segment, you guys can pay a bitch because a bitch needs to get paid. So you can go to innerhoeuprising.com and click the pay a bitch tab if you would like to donate to the Inner Ho Uprising PayPal. Or you can buy some merchandise, which also supports the Inner Ho Uprising. Or you can use some of the sponsor codes that are featured in previous episodes if you would like sponsors to stay on with this show. So we are going to get into the actual show. I'm quite excited. Usually we would have the fuck that segment, but because I really want to talk about BDSM today, we're going to just go into the fuck it segment. The topic of the day, and the topic of the day is BDSM. What is it? Somebody define for me, please.
Oh,
I know, but you know, I just want you guys to say.
I'm here as a occasional like player and partaker in the BDSM scene, but Gina here, she lives the lifestyle, so she'll probably, I'll just be piggybacking off her, and I feel like she'd be the one
to give us the definition. Yeah.
What is BDSM? That's a really loaded question. Mm-hmm. My favorite thing about BDSM is there's no right answer to that question. If you think of like the word itself, there's bondage, discipline, sadism, and masochism, and then discipline in there, and domination and submission. Okay. So the acronym right there just kind of stands
for so
much.
Usually people think it's just the two and then the other two.
Right, but there's actually three things within that acronym.
BD, DS, and SM. So
that's so cool. Yeah. Love it already. So that's what it is. I want to get into what isn't BDSM because I feel like the mainstream depiction of BDSM that we have right now is 50 Shades of Grey. And a lot of people had issues with that. And now you guys are making faces. So I just want you to talk about the faces that you're making.
Well, as a lifestyler, I've never read the book or watched the movies. So if I felt there was any value to them, I would have. So that says a lot right there.
Throwing shade over here.
50 Shades.
50 Shades. Okay. How about you?
No, never seen it.
Okay.
Never read it. Heard about it from people that have seen it and like reviews and stuff. People talked about it. And from what I got and gathered from their tellings of said book and movie, there was not an ounce of consent in there, which is completely, utterly disassociated with BDSM because BDSM is all about consent. So that in itself is teaching people who want to possibly get into that the wrong way to go about it. So it's unsafe and non-consensual and very misinformative and misleading.
Okay.
So like my biggest problem with it in terms of what I've heard is that I don't know the character's name, so I'm just going to call female lead, male lead, whatever.
It's Mr. Gray.
Okay. Mr. Gray and this woman.
I don't know her name.
So from what I've heard, this woman kind of comes into meeting this guy. He's mysterious. He's rich, whatever. And she's not into BDSM, but he like this is the only way you can be with me, and I'm going to talk you into it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So with real BDSM in real life, the last thing we want to do is coerce people into doing something that we want to do or signing a contract, because technically when she signed the contract, which I think she did in the book that he made her, that is consent. But can consent really be real if you're coerced into it and you're not like really excited about it?
So consent should be
personally explicit.
Explicit.
I was actually having a conversation with a partner of mine who is vanilla, quote unquote,
which we'll get into in 1 second.
And we were talking about how much more consent there is in the BDSM community in general. Like in the vanilla community, you don't usually ask people, can I hug you? But in the BDSM community, you do not hug people without a, is this okay? Or some type of widening of your arms as like a yes, no signal. Everything is consented to in our world.
Okay. So we'll get back into that later. For now, I just want to discuss some terms that you guys are obviously going to bring up a lot so that people know what you guys are talking about later in the episode. So what do you mean when you say vanilla sex or vanilla?
That's a good question because I don't have it. So
what is that?
It's to me, it's anything that doesn't involve kink.
Yeah. Okay. Just straight up whatever is on your body without any like bodily harm, cause of pain, yeah. Purposefully.
No mm-hmm. roughness.
Yeah. No roughness. Like, cause you know, because like even people that think they're having vanilla sex, like with the light choking and spanking, that's still kind of kinky. That's mm-hmm. in the kink world. So yeah. You're not having vanilla sex at that point.
So there's a spectrum mm-hmm. from vanilla
yeah.
to
yes.
kink.
Oh, yeah.
And when you say kink, what's the difference between BDSM and kink, if at all? Or are those terms used interchangeably?
In the community, they're used interchangeably, mm-hmm. but I don't know necessarily that they mean the same thing.
They don't mean the same thing, but like you know, when you say it, you're like, oh... I went to
are
a
you
kink
into kink?
Yeah, are you into yeah, kink? Like, you know, it's yeah. like a variation of it might your kink might be BD or DS or SM mm-hmm. or but it's like a little umbrella. Like kink, I feel mm-hmm. is the umbrella term, and then the BDSM are like branches of that.
Yeah,
okay. And then those even have branches, and it's gotcha. Just like a whole
so
little
yeah. kink is just opposite vanilla.
Yeah, like yeah. if you were to draw an umbrella, I would do BDSM/kink, and then everything okay. is under it.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. So let's just talk about some. Some common terms within BDSM to know. So I have some here, but if you guys want to just like mm-hmm. say stuff, so mm-hmm. I feel like dom sub.
So dom and sub, they're basically who is receiving and or giving the control or punishment or discipline in that aspect. So the dom, top, mistress, master, there are many terms for these, mm-hmm. Are the ones that usually give the pain, punishment, discipline, whatever. Mm-hmm. And subs, bottoms, slaves. Pillow princesses, all these things. yeah, it's a thing.
What's that mean? Quick tangent.
Pillow princess. Would
you... it's a complicated term. I think in general, it's kind of used in the
a bad way.
In the female non-heterosexual way. Well, yes, like just someone who just lays there.
Gotcha.
In bed,
be quite relaxing.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I've done it.
But yeah, those are the ones that receive the pain, punishment, and discipline, okay. the bottom subs and okay. et cetera.
So those are the relationship dynamics.
Yes.
Yeah, I would also add that, I mean, sometimes the top can receive and sometimes yes. the bottom can give. Like, it really depends on the personal dynamic and how it works. Mm-hmm. I would say it's more about, like, who is in the given consent to have power. So within that power... they can do whatever they want. So the one way that I saw this quote once that I really like how it describes dominant and submissive. Mm-hmm. It's like the submissive makes a coloring book, right? Mm-hmm. So the submissive draws a picture. And the dominant is then given colored pencils in whatever colors the submissive is interested in. And the dominant can color in the picture that the submissive drew mm-hmm. with those colors, but cannot go out of the lines or cannot use colors that they weren't given. But if you know, like if you think of DS as like the dominant is always the one with the whip, but I actually went to a class somewhat fairly recently where the woman was like, well, sometimes dominant receives. And she gave an example of like, she pulled the sub down and was like, you pour that wax on me, you yeah. do it, you do it, you pour that. So like, you can do it that way. There's mm-hmm. no like right and wrong way to mm-hmm. be dominant and mm-hmm. submissive.
Got it. Okay. So speaking of that, what is a switch?
I identify the switch that is a person for me who can go from being a dominant to being a submissive. Mm-hmm. So you can partake in both. So you can receive or give mm-hmm. in the aspect of BDSM.
Okay.
So sometimes like, When I dated guys, I could be submissive. Like, I just naturally took that role, but I could take charge. But when I'm with women, for the most part, I'm very dominant and aggressive. Mm-hmm. So that's mm-hmm. why I consider myself a switch.
Gotcha. How common do you think that is in the community or amongst people who are into BDSM?
I think it's pretty common.
Yeah, it's pretty common.
Okay.
Yeah.
It depends on your partner, too. Like, because, like, even if you meet somebody that you find you want to play with, and like you identify as like a switch or you have a submissive side and you find that your connection isn't that way, like you find that you're the more dominant one in your interactions, then sometimes it can negotiate
mm-hmm.
and you can become a switch in that aspect.
A lot of my friends are switches, so it's mm-hmm. pretty common.
One thing I find interesting about all this, like the relationship dynamics within BDSM is that they're somewhat the same relationship dynamics in all relationships. But I think, I feel like you guys in your community define it, as opposed to just in a vanilla relationship, someone will just take the role, but mm-hmm. they won't establish that this is the role that they've taken.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. And I think that in vanilla relationships, it's is looked down on.
What is exactly?
Like the idea of like one partner has more power than the other. If that were amplified, that we'd probably look on that relationship and call it abuse.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and even in our community, it's the same thing. Like it's not power take, it's power exchange. That's the important part here, is that like I think in DS dynamics there's an equal exchange of power. Yes. And the submissive has a lot of power, if not more power than the dominant does.
I was actually saying that in my at school the other day, because we were talking about how much we hated 50 Shades, and I was like, ultimately the sub has all the power. They're saying what you can and cannot do, how much you can do, when to stop, when to go. Even if they're the ones being punished or disciplined, or they're on the bottom in that contract, they're still are letting you do, they're allowing you and giving you permission to do all these things to them. Mm-hmm. So yeah. They have the power, mm-hmm. and they can tell you when to stop and when to go, how much. So they're basically in control, even though they're taking the lower status at.
I mean, it's a choice. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not like you're being forced into this. You're willingly choose that here's the power I want to give you.
Mm-hmm.
So that's power within itself. Choosing to to give someone power is completely powerful.
Yeah, exactly. That's very interesting. I feel like in vanilla relationships, people should have that conversation at the very least then. So another term. So we've got play, scene, and session.
I think play and scene are kind of used interchangeably. Mm-hmm. Like if you're playing with someone, you're usually having a scene with them. So a scene can be something like an impact scene, where the one person is receiving the impact and the other person is giving the impact.
When you say impact?
Oh, so impact play is anything in which one partner is using some type of implement to cause impact to the other person's body.
Mm-hmm.
So it can be like paddling or flogging or caning or spanking, anything that causes like impact to the person's body.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, like a scene could involve that. A scene could involve fear play, where usually the dominant person is trying to make the submissive or bottom person feel afraid. There's fire play, there's wax play, there's knife play, there's puppy play, there's so much. Like, there's
I gotta write so puppy play down much. So we can get into that later.
Okay.
There's bigs and littles. Mm-hmm.
That's rope. Like age play, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Kind of, yeah. That's the CGL that I was going to get into.
Oh, go into it. Sure.
So, CGL stands for caregiver and little.
Okay.
So, in this dynamic, you have one person who is taking on the form of a caregiver, most commonly known as daddy. But it's not always that. You know, there's mommies, there's uncles, there's babysitter, you know, mm-hmm. like I'm sure a caregiver can have any form. That's kind of why we use caregiver instead of daddy little, because
even
we don't want
teacher student.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So like any type of authoritative figure that you might have had as a child could mm-hmm. probably be defined as a caregiver. And then your little is someone who enjoys, I guess you could define it as like age regression. I'm probably not the best person to talk about this. Please excuse me, community, if I say anything wrong here, because I am not a little, nor have I ever had a caregiver little relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure it looks different for everyone. But the way that I understand it is that in littles are people who enjoy some type of play with age regression in it, or acting like a child. It could be something like coloring, or I've heard it described as just someone needing to be taken care of,
mm-hmm.
even if it had nothing to do with age regression or age play.
Okay. I kind of wanted to get into you guys' role in relation to BDSM, mm-hmm. just so we know who we're talking mm-hmm. to here. So whoever wants to take it.
Well, like I said before, I just occasionally play. When I was in my 20s, I was, I guess you can say, semi-pro. I topped and dommed a lot of women.
Mm-hmm.
That's my preference. I don't bother with guys, really. That's not my preference to top.
Track niggas.
Or date. Pretty much. But, yeah, so I would be paid for my services.
Mm-hmm.
With
women?
Yeah. I told you
that's
that.
That's so rare. No, I just like most women don't need to pay. So, like, there's just like, so, girl... Well, I understand why, because I've played with you, but I'm just saying.
Hey. Retired. Out of the game?
Yeah.
Oh, shucks.
Well, there are many reasons. Okay. Just, like, time and then also medical issues. Like, so that's the main reason I stopped, because I got diagnosed with lupus when I was 19. So I, like, tried to play after that, but I couldn't. But I got my health back in my 20s. So, like, from 20 to, like, 22, I guess pro-domed women. So
mm-hmm.
Go ahead. Oh, yeah. So pro-doming is when you are paid for or constantly hired to perform dominant BDSM, SM.
Were DSX. You a dominatrix?
Technically, yes.
Okay. Why do you say technically, yes?
Because I considered myself a goddess. That's what I had my.
Okay.
Okay. My ladies call me, mm-hmm. my subs and my bottoms. Yeah.
How did you get into it professionally? Did you just say, I can be paid for this and kind of
well,
in there,
okay, or? So started out like random chat rooms about like kink and stuff, and I would like cyber like top guys in it, and I was like, this is boring, like.
Mm-hmm. Can you explain cybering really quick?
Oh, yeah. It's like cyber sex, like telling people and giving very visual descriptions via...
What sexting is now.
Yeah, basically sexting.
We were horny on chat rooms.
Yes, basically.
Back in the day. Yeah.
Pretty much. So that, and then I had a female come into the... Slide into my DMs currently, but back then it wasn't that. It was a PM back then.
Yeah, she PM'd you.
And she, like, we had interactions cyberly and then realized we lived in the same area and she wanted to, so we talked a while, discussed everything, made our contract, and we met in person, and she knew other bottoms and subs that wanted female doms because it's very rare. Like, there is a big BDSM interest in, like, lesbian community, I would say, like, queer girls love mm-hmm. that shit.
Oh, okay. but much more on the submissive end,
yeah,
like as a general rule,
usually, yeah,
it's really like, hard to find female dominance.
Okay.
It's yeah,
really, really hard.
Okay, so you're in high demand.
Yeah, pretty much. So okay. That's how I became pro, because she had a bunch of friends that wanted that and couldn't find it. So
would you say the age range for your clients were older or younger or everybody?
Older.
Okay.
They were older than me because I was 20 and some of them were like 25 to 35.
Okay. And now you just for fun?
Yeah, now it's just for fun, for play. Like, I met Gina at school in a women's gender studies class years ago.
Okay.
We both found out we were queer together. and then we hung out and we found out we were both in the kink. And
that's a cool origin story.
Yeah. Okay. Well, she saved my life.
So
she, when I met her, I had just gotten cheated on in my first really serious DS dynamic. And she was there for me. She didn't even know me. She took me to the bathroom and she held me while I cried. So when I think of her, she's just the sweetest.
Yeah. Most no, Delta is the sweetest girl.
Like, and
thank you.
Yeah. Totally like what the opposite of what you would think a dominant would be if you don't know what a dominant is.
Yeah.
But yeah.
That was really nice. So it shocked her. And when she found out, she's like, you, that? And then, then she found out. She's like, oh, okay, yeah, no, I see it now. I understand.
Cool. And how about your role in relation to BDSM?
So I identify as a strict S type, which is usually the submissive bottom slave role. Mm-hmm. In terms of the type of submissive I am is really dependent on my dominant. So I can be a slave-like, I can be bratty. It really depends on the person mm-hmm. and my relationship and my connection with them and what they allow, like if they allow bratty behavior or not.
Okay. Is there one type that you prefer being, or you kind of just
like being a brat?
I love being a brat. I like being a bratty slave. Like I like the concept of 24/7 rules and structure, but still having that freedom to kind of push my dominant end. Because in my daily life, I'm not submissive at all. I'm really like I'm a Leo, and I'm very much a Leo.
Mm-hmm.
So in my daily life, you would never know.
Okay.
So I like someone who can kind of let me be that and still have that power. That's really, really sexy to me.
Oh, I would like to explore that later, like about what it does for you guys psychologically. But also, you had described yourself as power bottom. Mm-hmm. What does that mean?
To me, it means like a bottom who's not afraid of taking control and or pushing back.
Okay. So, are some of the people who you play with kind of like taken aback by that?
It depends. In my opinion, the best dominants are challenged by it and they're excited by it. But I think that there's this new kind of thing in the community where bratting is common. Bratting and power bottom can be kind of used interchangeably for some people. Your dominant has to consent to you being bratty. That is definitely a type of behavior that your dominant needs to consent to. If they do, then it's so much fun. If they don't, then they will probably be really angry at that type of behavior. So definitely bratting is a conversation to have before just engaging in it.
Got it. Okay, cool. So let's go into some of the subcategories, or I guess there are three subcategories.
There's a lot.
We don't have time for that.
But okay. Three main subcategories?
The three categories
that fit the BDSM. Okay. So bondage and discipline.
God, I'm like, how do I distinguish this? Like, I feel like this is a part of the other dynamics, bondage and discipline, more than like, it doesn't really exist by itself.
By itself, yeah.
Really, like, it's not usually like someone will get tied up and like, that's it. Or someone will get disciplined for no reason.
Yeah.
Usually, the people within it have either a DS or an S&M or a top and bottom relationship with it.
Okay, so what are DS relationships?
The dominant and submission.
Okay.
Or master-slave, or top or bottom. Like, there are just different terms and levels to it. Because if it's master-slave, that's way more responsibility. Also, is dom and sub, those are way more responsibility. Top and bottom is the kind of relationship that Gina and I had where I was just her top, and I really didn't set rules. It wasn't a 24/7 thing. I didn't set rules for her. But when we did play, she knew what role she played and that...
Okay.
Yeah.
So DS is basically implying the psychological.
I mean, it's more implying the roles. The usually if you see that acronym, you'll realize that the D is capitalized and the S is lowercase.
Huh.
So it kind of and it's, you know, the D is first and then there's the slash and the S is on the bottom. So it's kind of just like this is who goes where.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Cool. And how about SM?
Sadism, masochism. So, like, a big part of BDSM is the giving and receiving of sensation. And that's not necessarily pain sensation. It's any type of sensation. The sadist tends to be the giver, and the masochist tends to be the receiver of these sensations. S&M doesn't necessarily mean power exchange. There are a lot of people who do S&M play but don't have DS in there. So it's really just about the giving and receiving of sensation.
Got it. Okay. So how about we go into different types of play?
Sure.
Okay. What's your favorite type of play?
I also identify as a sadist, so I do like giving pain preferably. And I also...
Yeah, she's crazy.
And I also, I'm getting, like, I think it's so beautiful, like, rope play. Because it's so pretty.
I had my first suspension recently. It was amazing.
Explain what you mean by that.
So, like, there's... So, in rope play, there's one pretty common type called shibari, which is a Japanese rope style. And people will learn to tie different types of rope on your body. And in suspension, you're literally suspended in the air from some type of suspension rig.
Sounds quite beautiful. Yeah. I've seen some.
Yeah,
some.
It was amazing. And like there are other type. Well, this is more like bod mod, like body modification suspension as well. So something like, so you have to like clarify, because when you see people say suspension, they think actually the fish hooks in the meat hooks in the skin, like through your back and suspending.
Yeah,
but some people like that in the.
I think that's pretty. I've actually never seen it happen. So
yeah, so that's what I'm saying. Like,
I don't know how common it is. Yeah,
no, that's more like a bod mod kind of thing, a body modification. Kind of Got thing. It. So when you, just to differentiate for those listening, if they know or heard of suspension, and that's what comes to mind.
Okay, got it. And what's your favorite type of play?
I'm really into degradation.
Okay.
So it's, for me, it's like a really big break from the world. I have a really, powerful mind, so my brain is always going. And with degradation, it allows me to let go. So in degradation, the point for me is to be made feel small and useless, mm-hmm. Or like an object. And I fucking love that shit.
Mm-hmm. Speak your truth.
I love it.
So it gives you a break from being the big person that you are.
I tend to have like a leadership role in my job, in my quote unquote vanilla life. Mm-hmm. So it can be hard for me to transition into that submissive role, mm-hmm. and degradation helps me do that.
Okay. So how do you describe how, like, obviously that's something that's relaxing for your brain that you enjoy, that takes you to another place, but can you, if at all, explain why it turns you on sexually?
That's like saying, why did underpants turn us on? I mean, I think there's something about being used that really excites me. Mm-hmm. There's something about being under someone else's control that really excites me. Mm-hmm. And there's something about respecting someone so much that what they say does make me let go, because mm-hmm. In general, like, you can call me ugly, but I'm not going to believe you. Like, I have pretty high self-esteem. Mm-hmm. So if someone can, you know, mess with my brain so much to make me believe that, like, that to me is
makes you hyper-attracted to that person.
Yes. Especially.
Panties get wet.
Yes. Gotcha. In, like, 2 seconds.
Okay. So staying in tune with the whole psychology thing, why do you think, Delta, that you're turned on by being, like, a sadist and a dom? Even though you switch, so
yeah, I switch, but I prefer to be a D, mm-hmm. Like the D character, mm-hmm. preferably, mm-hmm. especially since I prefer to top women, so that's always the role I take. Mm-hmm. For me, women are just damn attractive, and the reason why I like it, I am naturally a giver just in life and mm-hmm. in sex in general. I like giving the other person pleasure gets me off. So this is another way to give somebody a pleasure that they want, which is might even be pain, but they like it.
Yeah.
So it turns me on. So seeing their pain mentally, I know they like it, even though they're screaming and like saying ow and stuff.
That makes you know that they like it.
Exactly. Yeah. So like that turns me on.
Uh-huh. You know, I think it's hard to have a exact reason why we have the kinks that we do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's kind of like why does someone have a foot fetish?
Yeah.
Like it just happens to be that way. Yeah. Like, you know, I don't think we could sit here and talk Freudian and really get into why we like BDSM, but I don't think there's an origin. I think you just find something that happens to turn you on and you explore it.
So as people into BDSM, do you feel like you're hyper questioned by other people who are like vanilla as to why that turns you on?
I don't really talk to vanilla people. Yeah.
Okay. Gotcha.
If I'm being honest, outside of work, I don't.
Okay, gotcha. You guys don't care.
Yeah, it's funny because like I'm connected to like a lot of communities, like queer community, clearly. So there's definitely kink in the queer community. Mm-hmm. Duh. And also I'm also in the cosplay community, which I found on FetLife, there's like a bunch of cosplay. Yeah.
There's a whole kinksters, convention.
And mm-hmm. I'm just like, my people.
This is my tribe. Mm-hmm.
So yeah, so like both the communities I reside in for the most part naturally are connected to the BDSM world. So
gotcha. Okay, cool. Switching back into different types of play, other faves, or I can just go through this list and you guys can talk about it.
Would it be cuckolding if it's a girl?
Oh yeah. Oh no, cuckqueening. Cuckqueening,
yes.
That's my other big kink. I love that. I like I love being tied up in the corner and like having my dominant fuck another girl.
Yeah.
And then be like, well, it's because she's so much prettier than you. And like look me straight in the eyes and like tell me about how much better that girl is.
That's always something that has turned me on as well. Mm-hmm. I didn't know it was called cuckolding for women, though.
Now you know.
Yeah. I don't even want to be part of the sex. I just want to be tied up in the corner and talk to.
Yeah.
Like, because like who do you care with who the person's fucking if they're looking at you and paying attention to you the whole time?
Okay.
Yeah, so that's another thing. So yeah, I like cuckqueening.
Why didn't we ever do that?
I don't know. Mm-hmm. We're not gonna get in. We know why. My ex was very weird.
Yeah, that's true.
There are dynamics going on here, but we don't have the time to get into them, so I'll just leave them. You guys can guess at home. Other stuff.
Like I said, role play already.
I'm really into fear play. Okay. So I love being scared. Like, for example, my current DS dynamic. We've done things where, like, he's tied me up to a cross, a St. Andrew's cross, which is a common play instrument mm-hmm. in our community, and blindfolded me and then, like, stabbed knives around me so that, like, I'm complete, like, I can hear them and I'm completely petrified. But obviously he's not going to actually stab me, but, you know, that's...
Was it a real knife?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I want to drift again. So into, geez, how do I say it? So that's Edge Play?
Yes.
Okay. So in regards to Edge Play, I know there's like two phrases that are said in regards to the safety of kink, and one is like safe, sane, and consensual, mm-hmm. and the other is like risk-aware, consensual kink.
Mm-hmm.
What's the difference there?
To me, risk-aware, consensual kink is you go into this knowing that something could happen.
Mm-hmm.
And you know the risks, but you still do it anyway. And safe, sane, and consensual is usually, like, the word sane kind of differentiates for me. It's like, you're doing this and it's a little bit kinky, but it's still sane, mm-hmm. I guess.
Oh, I thought, this is just from Wikipedia, I don't want to challenge you, but I saw that sane was like that the other person is in sane mind.
I guess it could
which
be.
Which is kind
you're
of...
You're supposed to be in sane mind most of the time. Like we never play while drinking or on drugs or smoking. Like, we always play sober mind, mm-hmm. sane mind.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one thing that's, like, a given, and it has to be. Like, mm-hmm. you can't be in an alternate state, unless mm-hmm. you get into subspace, but that's a whole nother difference.
Yeah, I think rack is used more commonly.
Okay, gotcha. So back into different types of play. Anything else that you guys really, really enjoy?
Mm. Well, personally, it's a thing called Florentine flogging, which is...
That sounds fun.
My favorite impact.
It's so... Yeah. It's fun. So, basically, you have a flogger. So, it looks...
Or two.
Well, I'm describing the flog. The flogger is basically leather. It's, like, strands of leather mm-hmm. on, like, one vine. And, like, you
mm-hmm.
you can flog a person and hit them. So, the Florentine has two in your hand, equal Ooh. Length. And, like... It's almost like doing poi, if anyone knows what, like, poi is from, like, raving and stuff. It's almost like doing that, so you're, like, alternating your wrists and you're hitting them almost simultaneously with double hands. So it's, like, really pretty. It's almost,
If you're really interested in BDSM, Florentine flogging, there's a lot of great YouTube instructional videos if you look them up.
Okay.
Really so that was like, oh, I'm only doing one. And then I looked at it. I was like, that looks like what I used to do when I used to rave. And I did it. I was like, oh, I'm good at this. Okay. New fave.
A skill.
Skill I didn't even know I already had.
Cool.
Yeah.
Any other faves?
I'm a service submissive.
Oh, yeah,
so,
she is.
Mm-hmm. A service submissive is someone who enjoys giving service to their top. And then that can look very different in certain ways. Like, it can be bringing drinks or cleaning or making someone food or being in charge of handing someone toys and cleaning the toys after a scene with someone. So any type of quote-unquote service.
Okay, now I'm just going to read some stuff that I thought was quite interesting. Which is everything, so I'm going to read everything. Cock and ball torture.
Oh, I have no experience in this.
Mm-hmm. You guys have no experience
no.
in that.
Mm-mm. Sorry.
Okay, fuck it.
But I've seen some shit.
It looks like strangled up turkey giblets.
I've seen a lot
That's
of
dicks
them.
For you, I mean, come on.
I've seen a lot of men having their balls kicked at parties.
Okay. So. Oh, talk about parties.
Oh, my favorite place in the world. Uh-huh. So, kink parties are basically just a place where you can come and do BDSM things.
You can have scenes. Mm-hmm. You can meet possible doms or subs for your depending. You can ask to play with other people if they're not already collared or if there's doms.
Explain collared.
It's in a DS relationship where basically you are owned and, like, you are that person's slave or sub and theirs only. And they can lend you out because they can do what they want with you if that's in your contract.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, so you can be lent out at parties sometimes if that's in your...
Yeah, I want to emphasize, like, while we're talking about this, that there's no, like, right definition.
Yeah.
Like, collared can mean anything. Dominant can mean anything. Mm-hmm. So the most important thing is that it's consented to mm-hmm. and that it's agreed upon with both partners. So, like, like, I have a play collar, but I'm allowed to do whatever the hell I want, pretty much. Mm-hmm. And same with my partner. So it's really, really personal. There's no like right definition. So it's hard to define what mm-hmm. a collar, what does it mean to be collared? It's like, well, you have to ask the person who's collared.
Gotcha. Okay. So back to parties. I've heard that explicit sexual activity usually doesn't actually happen at these parties.
Not in the open. Like I work at one party a month. Mm-hmm. And in this particular party, most of the places sex is not allowed, or at least, mm-hmm. and that doesn't mean like contact with genitals. It means sexual activity. So, but there is a room where sexual activity is allowed.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think a lot of the times if there is sex allowed, it's within a restricted space. It really depends on the laws of the state too.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Oh. So is the reasoning behind that to avoid like prostitution laws?
That's a good
getting paid.
That's a good question. I think
Do you pay to enter?
Yes. Parties? You do pay to enter the party, mm-hmm. unless you're working it. But I think some of it is comfort. Like, we get a lot of new people at parties. We want them to feel comfortable. And I know that like if I went to my first party and everyone was having sex around me, I probably would have felt
like it's an orgy and not a play party where you can be safe.
Yeah. Okay. So I think it's kind of this is allowed, but let's keep it in a certain area. So for those people, because there are people who are asexual, there are people who don't really like mixing sex and kink. Mm-hmm. So like it kind of keeps that space safe for them too.
Okay. And these are usually held at like rented out places. Or are there like set?
Yeah, some are set. Some are location changes.
Mm-hmm. So like a set facility for BDSM. Is that a dungeon? Is that what a dungeon is?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you can just call it a dungeon. Okay. Yeah.
It doesn't mean it's down in the basement somewhere.
No. It usually isn't. In New York, it's usually upstairs somewhere. Uh-huh. But a lot, sometimes a professional space, they'll also have pro doms who work at that space and use the rooms there during the day for pro sessions. And then they'll have parties at night. Mm-hmm. And then the space that I usually go to, I think, is used just solely for parties.
Okay. Other types of play. Tickle torture.
What's that?
it's a type of sensation play.
Yeah, it's a sensation play.
Yeah, okay. So, like,
some people actually, like me, I hate being tickled, so that would,
it would torture you.
So if I was, like, in my switch mode and, like, subbing, and that was our thing, that'd be tickle torture, I would hate it, but...
Yeah, but that's the point. Like,
that's the point.
Sometimes the point is to hate something because you love hating things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. You guys have any, golden shower experience?
No.
I have had discussion about it, but I've never actually participated in it.
I've had it asked to be, but I never felt comfortable. That was like, that's one of my like limits.
Yeah.
Like my hard limits are like no, like only like sexual bodily fluids. So no scat, no blood, no urine. So those are my hard limits for mm-hmm. me personally. But mm-hmm. other people, they don't mind that.
So a hard limit, just so before we go on, is something that a person, at least at this point in time, has no interest in exploring, cannot be discussed, cannot be touched.
Mm-hmm. Would you like to talk about your hard limit?
Yeah, I'm some of my hard limits is I would never call someone mommy or daddy, because incest is a hard limit for me. So any type of play that involves incest. I'm not into permanent marks. I did have an experience in my life where I had someone carve their initial into my leg, and it was a bad decision because, you know, then this person and I broke up and I learned that you shouldn't do that. So, so I don't like permanent marks. And there are some forms of sexual play that I don't like. Like, I'm not into anal. So that's a hard limit for me.
Or vaginal abuse.
Yeah.
I don't do that
either. I don't do genital torture. So, like, that's, like, if some people like to be flogged, whipped, punched, hit on their vagina. Or penis, depending on who they are. Mm-hmm. So, but that's a form of play that I don't enjoy.
Gotcha.
But I would say I'm in the minority there.
Oh, wow.
I think a lot of women who enjoy pain, enjoy some type of intense sensation in that area.
Ouch. Okay. So, turning the tide from stuff you don't enjoy. What's your greatest BDSM experience that you've ever had in your entire life?
That's a good question. God, it depends on which partner we're talking about.
So every person has their different
thing. Yeah,
you can say thing. All of them.
My first real DS relationship... God, that was so long ago now. I'll talk about our scene, because our scene was pretty awesome. I like
which one?
The second. Oh, well, we had two really good scenes, and the second one I got triple topped. So there were three tops in the room at once. That's and fun. Me. So it was me all by myself with three tops. Mm-hmm. But like the first time we played, Delta had put what are they called? Clothespins. Yeah, the all
wooden,
over.
Wooden clothespins.
Wooden clothespins.
Like, gotcha, okay.
Yes. So she had put them all over my tits. And she had her flogger, and she was flogging them.
Wow.
And by the end, my nipples were bleeding. It was
yeah,
great.
Was it fun?
It was great. It was really fun. And then when we all played, they hogtied me and then left me there by myself for a while. That was really awesome.
Face down on the floor.
Yeah. It was really hot.
Where were you guys doing this? In someone's apartment?
Yeah, my house.
Yeah.
The dungeon.
Yes.
Delta's dungeon.
Delta's dungeon. Love it. Okay. I'm special because I don't have to pay for it. So.
Yeah. Friend discount.
Yeah.
It was fun because the first time we played, she was like, oh, I don't really say for it. I never really asked to stop. And so we use colors. Our safe words are like green is go, you're good. Yellow is I'm getting there. I probably need to stop. And red is just stop. So like we made her yellow. What was it, twice?
Yeah.
Wow.
So the safe words are words that we use instead of like no and ow.
Because of course you're going to say that because you're like in pain and you don't want it, but you kind of do want it. So that's like.
Yeah. So like we have like the most common ones I think are green, yellow, and red. Red is like stop. And usually that means everything stops and the scene doesn't go on. Mm-hmm. And there's also yellow, which is like slow down or like check in with me. Mm-hmm. And then there's green, which is all is good.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, when she yellowed, she's like, I'm still good. But like she kind of went into subspace, if you want to explain what that is.
So subspace is complicated. It's kind of like this floaty endorphin space that submissives will go into. And sometimes dominance will as well have a dominant space where you kind of feel like you're floating. Mm-hmm. I would say it's kind of similar to like being on drugs. Yeah.
Well, basically her, like, I guess it was so much intensity and like the pain and like just the endorphins of like trying to cope with that. Or her like pupils dilated. She got mm-hmm. cold. So we had to like, she wanted to keep going. But we had to stop because at that point it wouldn't have been safe.
Yes, it's important okay. for like.
So we gave her water, some sugar, get her blood sugar. Like there you have to care for your sub as well. So yeah. There's aftercare. We had to like, we left a huge bruise. So we had to like tend that with alcohol and spritz it in. Cool yeah. it down and yeah.
Okay. So before like going into a scene, how do you lay out safety? Is it just establishing what the safe words are and that's it?
Well, or? Before you even start playing, you lay all that stuff down. So once you know you're about to play and go into a scene, you already have all that knowledge already. We had contracts and mm-hmm. We made lists and stuff.
Yeah.
It was a long process before we even started playing.
Yeah. So like before someone starts playing, it's important to have a negotiation, and a negotiation is a conversation between the top and the bottom where power exchange is not involved. So in a negotiation, there's no power exchange. You're both equal people coming just to talk about what you want to do. That's the first step mm-hmm. when you're playing with anyone is having a negotiation. Like, okay, this is what I want to try. This is what I don't want to try. Mm-hmm. And it could be like the submissive will bring up an item and the dominant can say, oh, yes or no, or vice versa. So okay. That's the first step. And then depending on what you're doing, hopefully, I mean, in my opinion, you wouldn't want to play with someone who wouldn't know the safety precautions mm-hmm. of whatever you're doing. So that's an important part of being an S type. You make sure that you're playing with a D type who understands the safety precautions that mm-hmm. need to take. Like if you're doing needle play and, you know, the person doesn't know not to reuse a needle or not have ways to clean after you're bleeding, then that's a red flag right there.
Mm-hmm. So this is all the negotiation yeah. stage. Mm-hmm. How long would you guys say that normally takes?
Oh, it depends.
For a person who you first...
Depends on how far you want to go with the play. Gotcha.
Depends on, like, are you trying to develop a dynamic or is it just, quote-unquote, pickup play where you're just doing a scene for the night?
A lot of prepping.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So you guys mentioned contracts a number of times in this episode. Are these legally binding contracts or
they
just...
can be.
Okay.
It depends how serious you take it, I guess. We're our own community and we take these contracts pretty seriously.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So, I don't know that that most people write out a contract and
it's more like a verbal agreement. Like, yeah. You know,
I mean, I've had a couple of written contracts. But I don't know that that's the norm. I think it's just like, when it does happen, usually it's the D type writes something up on the rules, and then the S-type signs it. They sign it together, and sometimes they allot, like these rules are in place for the next 3 months, and then we discuss and we sign it for longer. If things are going well, we modify it, et cetera. Mm-hmm.
Got it. Okay. Do you guys know of the term SQIC?
No.
Wikipedia made that up. No. So I was looking at like things that can trigger someone wanting to say like the safety word or whatever. Mm-hmm. And according to Wikipedia, a SQIC is when you have like a trigger. Like when.
Oh, just trigger. Like, so, okay.
Okay. So,
like certain actions are not allowed because it'll bring you back to a place of trauma.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, this is a controversial topic in the scene because I feel like some people use BDSM to explore their trauma. Like some people have done what's called consensual non-consent, or where someone has a scene where they're forcing someone else to have sex in a consensual way. And if someone has experienced this in a non-consensual way in their life, sometimes replaying that and in a way where the person who experienced this takes the power and has the control and consents to it can make them feel better. Mm. So it's a risky thing. I don't really endorse using BDSM as a way to deal with your psychological problems, whereas some people really use it as therapy. So it's really, again, an individual thing.
Got it. Okay. Back to good times. Your greatest BDSM experience?
Oh, so yes, back in the day, I was doming an older woman. She was 29. I was 20. And she had hired me, so we're doing our thing. She was really into flogging, caning, spanking, being tied up, gagged, all that fun stuff. So we're playing, and I'm just having my fun and packed with her. And there's, I guess, orgasm control, you can say. So that's like a part of the play. So I guess that was one of the things we were like exploring. So I was like, she has to ask me when she can orgasm. Mm-hmm. I have to give her permission to do so. Mm-hmm. And she went out of turn. And I realized at that moment, I also enjoy me a squirter. Because I wasn't even touching her, but I guess the sensation was so much and she got so aroused that she ended up having an orgasm just from impact, and she squirted. So that's probably one of my favorite. But she also got punished for not listening, so there's that.
Even more fun.
I had a really great scene once where like my top at the time sat next to me and described this like amazing kidnap con non-con scene that we would do while we were having sex. And I was just like in my head in this world. Like sometimes BDSM, like it's just so verbal and like there's mm-hmm. no actual pain involved, but she just described this world to me of this terrible thing that she wanted to do to me. And it was wow. amazing. I just like, it was probably the best orgasm I ever had.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's all about the brain, huh? Sometimes. Mm-hmm. So
for me,
if you are like at a play party or a situation where you are engaging like in a scene, but you can't have explicit sex, have you guys ever came in that situation, like orgasmed? Is that common?
I don't know that it's common.
I don't think it's common.
It happens. Like
the setting I was in, we were like it was private.
Yeah. I mean, it happens. Like I've heard quite a few subs say that to me, but I don't think that that's necessarily like the
goal.
The common or mm-hmm. the goal, yeah.
Okay, gotcha. Okay, cool. So do you guys have any advice for new kinksters who have heard this episode?
Go to classes. Mm-hmm. Get educated. Don't start slow.
Yeah, start slow. Don't just jump in. Like, you might have this one fantasy, but that's really extreme. But test the water. Dip your pinky toe in first.
You're here in the New York City area. There's so much.
So mm-hmm. much.
There's so much education. There's such a community. I mean, in most city areas, if you're anywhere near a city, join FetLife.
Yeah, FetLife. They have a lot of classes. There's rope classes. There's
every kind of
class. Is FetLife free? Or?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. It's kind of like a kinky Facebook.
Basically.
Yeah.
And how would you advise a person who wants to try BDSM with their partner, how would you advise that they approach asking?
I think honesty is the best policy. Like, just be upfront, be like, hey, this is
something I want to try or I'm interested in. What do you feel about it? And if they're willing to go for it or like that they're not sure, like you can lower the stakes and like, okay, let's try this first. If they're okay with that, I say, like, discuss it, make sure there's consent, negotiate, set out rules and safe words. And
the same rules go there, like, start slow.
Slow, very slow.
Okay.
Check in all, and that's another important thing about BDSM, always check in, like, even if they're saying ow, and you know it's okay, and it's not that much of an ow, like, still just check in, like, are you okay? Color, or just say color so you don't break the...
Yeah, especially when you first start playing with someone, like eventually you might get to know someone, and you'll realize, like, oh, they say ow, like, I say ow when I play, it doesn't mean shit. Like, I love saying ow, I'm just Brett. So, whereas... Yeah, so you really, like, you have to know your part. Like, someone who plays with me knows that, and hears ow and doesn't worry. Like, someone who plays with me knows that you have to worry about me if I shut down. If I'm not responding...
If she gets quiet,
Then you have to worry about me. Okay. Whereas, like, so... But at first, anything that concerns you, check in. Mm-hmm. Once you get to know someone, you've been playing with someone for a while, then you can kind of push those limits and boundaries.
How would you guys advise a person who's kind of just walking around in the wild, like how you guys just stumbled upon each other and found out you both were into kink? How do you, like, approach that conversation with a complete stranger?
God, that's really
difficult. How did you guys even do that? How did that happen?
It's all about trust and how, like, I just kind of sensed that Delta was non-judgmental and that I could tell her anything. And even if she wasn't into it, she'd be like, all right, well, your kink is your kink and that's cool. So I think it's finding people that you trust to not judge you and accept you no matter what. So I wish there was like a surefire, like, here's your five steps to telling someone you're kinky. But,
a Cosmo article once this episode drops.
I'm sure there will be. But I don't think life works like that. Yeah. I think you really, like, you just go and you be like, hey, there's this topic I want to discuss. I'm really interested in kink. And then you can, like, kind of gauge based on that answer, like, how much can I disclose here? Like, if the person's like, oh.
Ask them what kind of porn they watch. That usually gives it away, too.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's a good one. Although there are some people who just watch.
If they watch anything from the kink.com website, they're probably somewhat into kink.
Yeah.
So what are good kink porn sites?
Kink.com. Yes. Fucking Machines. If you've never seen that, Fucking Machines, you will never need another human being ever.
Oh, like the Sibian?
Yes, I've been one. There are a bunch of them. There's like one that's like a rotary thing, and it's like just a bunch of tongues on like a rotation. It's just there, and it looks amazing.
Wow. If anybody wants to gift the inner hub.
And then there are the goat milkers.
There's a lot. And also, when it comes to kink porn, I want to emphasize that, you know, it doesn't show everything. Like, I remember when I first watched kink porn when I was a teenager, I was like, I'm not into this shit.
Yeah.
And now I'm a lifestyler. Mm-hmm. Because, like, there were things like people in latex suits who were that's having sex. And that's not for everyone. Like, for me, that wasn't kink, but that was the majority of what was displayed in BDSM porn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I never dressed in, like, that's why I was like, technically I'm a dominatrix, but I never dressed as a dom. Like, I always wear, like, sexy stuff, but it wasn't like latex and leather.
Yeah, dressing like a dom just means you wear black. Like, that's
it was all black. But I was
like, that's like, you know? That's like it. That's legit. Like,
so you be like lingerie with garters and stuff, like really sexy corset kind of thing. But
yeah, you can. But you can also just wear like black whatever shirt, and like you're totally appropriate to be a dominant at a party.
Yeah,
they just all wear black. It's like, I don't know.
I mean, it's a nice color. What I wanted to go into. Oh, you had mentioned aftercare earlier. Is there like a way that you all outline a specific plan of aftercare, or is it just like, let me take care of this person? Well, it depends on what
you're doing. Yeah, that's part of the negotiation. Yeah,
negotiation and the type of play. So if there is like drawing of blood, or like with knife play or needle play or anything, like you not know how to clean the wounds and care for the person after. Mm-hmm. Or, like, just certain things, like, aspects of what to do.
Yeah, it really depends on the person. Like, some people really like to be cuddled and hugged and reassured after a scene. I love to be cuddled, but, like, I've had this debate where when it comes to degradation, I don't like reassurance. I don't like someone being like, I don't actually think you're ugly. Like, I don't need that. Whereas some people do need that after a degradation scene. So it really, you talk to the person and it can look really different depending on who the person are. Some people like to eat. Some people, mostly everyone should have water after a scene. Mm-hmm. And probably some type of food. But how that happens is, like, there's no right way to do aftercare.
Cool. Anything else you guys would like to add on the broad topic that is BDSM? Final points.
Ultimately, if you're into it and you want to try it or you're doing it, ultimately, the thing is, be safe, and it's supposed to be fun. Have fun. Enjoy that shit.
Don't go in with expectations of yourself or other people. Like, the only expectation is that you're supposed to have fun. Mm-hmm. Don't do anything you don't want to do. Don't push yourself. There's nothing wrong with safe wording. There's this concept that, like, to be a good submissive, you don't safe word. There's nothing wrong with safe wording.
Okay. All right. So we're going to end that and then move on to Fuck Me, if you guys are cool with it.
Yeah.
Fuck Me.
This is a segment about our... Sorry, TK. Shout out to Bonfire Radio. This is the segment about our host's sex, romantic, dating lives. So you two are going to share a nice little anecdote.
So in terms of DS, I think one of the biggest things I've learned based on my experiences is to know how big of a responsibility it is to be a dominant. You are, or a submissive, you're either giving or receiving and power. So I have learned through my experiences and through things that people have done wrong, that taking someone's power away and, like, just uncollaring them or taking off that status of dominant and submissive has been really traumatizing for me and for other people in the scene. Mm-hmm. So the biggest thing I've learned is that talking to your partner about it is really important. Just realize the responsibility.
Like, talking to your partner about the fact that you are no longer going to be in a DS relationship?
Well, the first time I was uncollared, it was, like, completely... Like, 2 seconds, it was done. Like, there was no, like, discussion about, like, well, okay, so, like, how do I get my power back? So then, like, there I was. Like, the relationship was done. I never saw my dominant again. And I had all this power that I had given this person.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was gone. Like, then this person was gone. There was this part of me that I had given this person. A really big part, because I'm not naturally submissive. So to give that to someone takes a lot of energy and commitment. I love it, but it's still a burden in some ways. It's if you're going to uncollar someone or end a DS relationship, you have to realize from either side what you're taking from the person and, like, how much stress that could be.
Was your D just an asshole? Like, why was it 2 seconds?
Yes.
I don't understand that.
Yes. It was complicated. But I think we were, like, the better way to describe it is that we were both young and we were both uneducated on what was going on and how important it was.
How old were you at the time, if you don't mind me asking?
I was 23 and she was 22.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, I'm only 25 now. It's not like I'm
back
all that
in the
much
day.
Older. But I think we just maybe put a collar on too quickly.
How fast did the collar come on?
A little over a year.
Okay.
I've learned it's kind of like an engagement ring in some ways. Like, it's a huge commitment to someone. And now I have a collar, but I have a play collar. So a play collar is so much less serious than a slave collar is.
What's the difference?
So, like, a play collar, I mean, again, these mean what they mean to a person. But to me, a play collar is just something that I wear when I'm with my current partner and we're at parties. So it signifies that he is my dominant within that situation. And then when the party's over, you know, the collar comes off. Whereas when I was with my first master, my collar was on all the time. So mm-hmm. I wore it any possible time I could wear. And it was very visible. It was an obvious collar. So it was kind of like I owned that slaveness to her at all times. Whereas mm-hmm. with him, it's much more like selective.
Excuse me if I'm delving in too deep, but no. Do you feel like the quickness that she took the collar off was a part of her feeling powerful as a dom? Like, I can...
No.
No.
I
okay,
think
she's
it
an
had
asshole.
To do... No. she's a wonderful person, but I think we both should have known better than to be engaging in such dynamics at the point that we were in our lives. So I think that's an important thing here with BDSM is that you're probably going to make mistakes. Mm-hmm. I've made a lot of them. So that's important is that we both made mistakes and we're both human and neither of us are to blame. But the mistakes were scarring, definitely.
I'm so sorry.
I think we all have to go through those things to learn.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I definitely learned.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you for sharing that. Mm-hmm. How about you? Your fuck me.
My fuck me. Well, okay, so.
You do something fun.
It is fun. So, okay. So, like I mentioned before, I was diagnosed with lupus and Sjogren's at the age of 19. And Sjogren's is an autoimmune, just like lupus, in which my immune system attacks my mucous membrane. So, I cannot produce tears. I have tear duct plugs. I have a hard time producing saliva. It can also affect vaginal dryness. Mm-hmm. And because that's mucus, technically.
Yeah. Yeah.
And also digestion, because your stomach's lined with mucus. And so, a bunch of stuff. So, I thought, when I was dating men, before I realized that, I always knew from a young age that I was attracted to women. All my first experiences were with girls at a young age. And then when I got to high school, I discovered boys. And then they were all very effeminate and very, from behind, you would think they were girls. They all cut their hair when they broke up with me, but whatever. But yeah, so in that aspect, I was like, okay, cool. I guess I'm bi. But then I'm realizing I'm leaning more toward queer and lesbian. So while dating guys, I would always think having intercourse that, oh, it was the Sjogren's, why I couldn't get aroused or wet enough and would always have to use lube and mm-hmm. whatever. So talk to the doctor. She's like, oh yeah, just lose lube. It's probably the Sjogren's, whatever. But whenever I watch my brand of porn, which is all girls all the time. This is turning
into a fuck nigga story. Let me pull in. I'm all here for it.
So I'm just like, okay, I watch these beautiful women in porn, solos, all that stuff, squirters here and there, everything, immediately dripping. So all puddles everywhere. Raindrops, drop top. That everywhere. Just, I can't stand the rain, Missy Elliott. No, I cannot. And so I'm like, okay, this is not a problem now. And I realized when having intercourse with guys and when dating guys, I would fantasize about these said females, and that would help me get aroused. Or mm-hmm. they would have to, like, go down first in order for me to get that mm-hmm. semi-wet. Mm-hmm. Then I started dating my girlfriend. And that problem...
Raindrop.
Not even... Even before we even started, like, anything, it was just like, I'm like, what? I'm like, did I get my period? Is it not supposed to come? Guys, what's going on down there? Nope.
That just, level of wetness.
Yeah. So I'm just like, oh, my body just likes girls. Okay, cool.
Figured it out.
There it is. So that I don't have a medical problem down there. Sweet. I was just gay.
That's so funny. Is it dick or is it Sjogren's syndrome? It's men.
Pretty much.
Okay, cool. Okay,
have time
Thank
for
you.
Another story?
Yeah.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about my favorite punishment that I ever received.
Yeah.
Ooh. So recently, my current dominant, he has this role for me where I'm like supposed to send him pictures every day. I suck. And, like, I really suck at it. So, like, a couple of months ago, we went to a party, a play party, and he grabbed me and he said, put this on. And there I was in a fucking trash bag. Because my favorite thing ever is go to parties and like show off my body. So I dress like a slut. And so he took that away from me, which is my favorite thing ever, is being beautiful and dressing like that. He took that away and he put me in a trash bag. And then he took a marker and gave it to everyone else and had them write like degrading words all over my body. And then when we had our fear play scene, he had me like tied up to a cross and he cut off the bag and was like stabbing the cross around his crate. So I wore that like all night. I was walking around with like a trash bag and like degrading words
he's
all
fun.
Over my body. Oh yeah, he's scary. Like you should see some of his pictures.
Do tell.
Well, he's into like, he's got this paddle that he puts bottle caps on and like he hits girls' butts with it. So,
like beer bottle caps? Like the ones with
like
the little
beer
spikies?
Bottles. Yeah.
Oh my so god. He's tells us like ideas.
Crazy sadist. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Cool guy. Okay. Thanks, ladies. So we're going to go into Fuck You.
Fuck You.
This is the segment about it's very good. It's a the harmony is good here. I like you too. This is a segment about you guys at home's lives. So if you would like to send in a story, a tip, a rant, whatever you like, you can do so by emailing ihupodcast@gmail.com. I forgot for a good second. What am I? Okay. Okay, so the story is as follows. Hi, Sam and fellow co-hosts. I have a friend across the country that I fuck whenever he and I are in the same city. I will be in his area next month for someone else's graduation, and he and I have already made plans to meet up. This guy is really sweet, and the sex is always great. He gives me head whether I have or haven't shaved, and I usually reciprocate. Typically, I lick my partner's balls when giving head, but I also prefer those balls to be shaved. I kind of want to lick his balls, but I don't know how to ask him to shave without sounding like a dick. No pun intended. What should I do? Do you have any tips for sucking/licking hairy balls? I tried it once with my ex, and it tasted like straight up funkin' piss. on a less gross note, have you ever set any thought goals, like a position or a trick you want to master in bed? I recently reached my thought goal of clapping my ass while fucking, and I'm looking for a new one. From the Liberated Ho.
I think shaving is really personal. Like, I just don't personally believe that we have a right to ask anyone to shave.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think that, like, cleanliness is important, so that maybe a better step there would be taking a shower with your getting your partner in the shower and washing them in that area, because I don't think that if you're clean that it's going to taste that disgusting.
Yeah, your partner's, so, his balls didn't smell like, what is it? Funk and piss.
Yes.
Because he wasn't shaving.
Yes.
It's because he didn't, like, wash his balls.
So I think that, like, that can be, like, a sexy way to kind of make that more comfortable for both of you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because guys be the first one to talk about some girl didn't wash and not want to go down, so we have that same mm-hmm. liberation to do so, so.
Yeah, everybody has the right to mm-hmm. clean genitals.
Listen.
Especially you can both in your get mouth. Clean.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, a shower is a fun mm-hmm. way to suggest that.
Yeah.
Especially if you're, like, doing ass eating, it's like, shower, and mm-hmm. then ooh, the fun can be had. Unless you're into scat stuff. The other question was thought goals.
What goals?
So thought is a term recently invented, mm-hmm. about 2 or 3 years ago. It stands for that hoe over there. So basically, it's just hoe goals.
Slut like goals. To be your ultimate hoe-ass slut self.
Yeah.
My
he was like, I'm there.
my next goal is probably to have a cut queen. Scene because I've never actually had one,
mm-hmm.
so that's I really, really, really want to be tied up and degraded while watching someone fuck someone better than me.
Okay,
yeah,
that's fun. Mm-hmm. Thought goals.
Me personally, I don't even know.
She's just that hoed out.
Basically, I think I had my whole. I think I lived all my whole dreams. Okay. I was the best so I could.
What was the epitome?
What was my epitome? What
was your best sex?
It depends on the partner. Personally, best sex is clearly with myself or my girlfriend. Like, self-love is top.
Yeah.
That's
yeah,
top.
That's,
no one can beat crazy. That.
That's the puddle.
Yes.
Like, the real puddle.
Yeah. Well, my ultimate thought goal was for me to personally squirt, and I can do that now, so these are things.
Hey!
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
How did you do that? Did you work on it, or did it just happen, or did you just reach peak?
It happened once when I was younger. I didn't know, like, I was orgasming, and, like, it just... And I was like, okay, whatever.
Like, is that
maybe what I have to pee. And then, clearly used to work in the sex shop, so bought a bunch of vibrators, and using the vibrator... Yeah, it makes you squirt pretty fast
mm-hmm.
if you can. And then, yeah.
Yeah, I've heard that.
Yeah, because it's just like overkill.
Mm.
Like, the point is to keep going. Like, even after your orgasm, just keep going. And it just gets so intense that all your muscles are just like, fuck it.
I'm scared that I would, because I feel like that's my thought goal, to finally squirt.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if, one, everybody can do that, because the research on women's bodies is like, yeah. We're not doing it. But I'm scared that I would kill the sensation in my clitoris. Like, I actually don't use
it. Yeah, I told you guys I did that once.
Yeah, you did. You put the fear of God into my heart.
No, just got, like, yeah.
I mean,
you won't lose
did it
sensation.
Come back?
Yeah, it did come back. Clearly. Clearly it came back.
Yeah, with these puddles.
But I guess for our... What's our...
Liberated hoe.
Our liberated hoe, She's learning to clap on it. I guess that's from behind.
You gotta have a certain ass to do that.
Yeah, you gotta
not all ass cheeks clap.
Yeah, not all ass cheeks clap.
Yeah.
But how about she like spin on it? Like you're facing one way and then flip around without even getting
that's
up.
Fun.
Try
that's
that.
Fun. Yeah. No, that's a good one.
That should be a goal for you.
Yeah. And if she
it'll blow his damn mind.
It. They do like that. Mm-hmm. It's like, huh. The exorcist on my dick. Yeah, no, that's fun. I haven't pulled that trick out in a while. I'm a boring thought now. we're gonna end the show. So thank you guys for being on here with me and letting everybody know the ins and outs of BDSM.
Thank you for having us.
You're welcome to come back if you want to do BDSM's part 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. So I feel like
I'd
you could just
that.
Keep
it
going.
It can. Yeah. We can like do just one segment.
You can have your own
one
podcast,
play.
Honestly. Yeah, if you would like. Yeah.
Well, have us back anytime. I'd love to talk more about it.
Ooh, okay. Yeah. Thank you. Would you guys like to shout out your social medias or anywhere people can find you, website?
Sure. You can follow my Tumblr, which is real kinky. It's hedonistic-princess-g.tumblr.com.
Okay, I'll put that in the description.
Great.
Show notes.
Yeah, and if you want any type of clothing or kink wear, you can contact me at... Yes, I make things. Pretty things.
Yeah,
that
made
nice.
Me two personal baby dolls. They're
aww.
Beautiful.
Yes. You
can
contact
see them
me.
On my Tumblr.
Yeah, they're on the Today Love
cross-promotion. Cross-promotion.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. delta_major@instagram.com. So on IG, delta_major.
Yeah, you got a lot of great stuff going on there,
thank
too.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So the Twitter for this podcast is Innerho Uprising. The Instagram for this podcast is Innerho Uprising. You can also follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/Innerho Uprising. If you'd like to follow me personally on Twitter and Instagram, you can do so by going to @SlamRid. Please go to innerhouprising.com to see our co-hosts, to see merchandise, and to see my lovely face. I mean, I guess if that's what you want to do. Oh, and also to pay a bitch. So the search for a coho is wrapping up soon. We got a few more weeks, so look out for the voting mechanism that's going to come at you guys, so you guys can like officially vote for who you would like the coho to be. Please remember to rate us on iTunes and Stitcher, 5 stars only. And oh, forgot to remind you guys about this. You got to do something sexy. This is our little something sexy segment in which you just say a sexy phrase, make a sexy sound,
God.
Whatever you want. It can also be nothing. I should have reminded you guys about this. I'm sorry. Sexy shrugs.
Sexy shrugs.
This is my fault this week. I'm so sorry.